Tonight is going to be a kind of a technical, instructional, if you will. I don't anticipate this being, you know, extremely inspirational, although it will be in and of itself. But I wanted to follow up on this morning when we were preaching on one of our four core beliefs. And, you know, we're going through that series, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit baptism. And it is something that I believe an awful lot of Assembly of God people and Pentecostal people, there's an awful lot of churches out there that are charismatic that literally we're not the only ones. We didn't corner the market as Assembly of God people on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and others. But I think that there's an awful lot of people out there that have had the experience, but they've probably not had an awful lot of explanation or investigation into what that really is. You and I can have an experience, and we'll remember the experience, and the experience will help us, it will serve us, it will do us a lot of good, but it really is beneficial to understand what was going on with that experience. In the sound booth, we have Jacob. He's an electrician, and I'm sure there's a lot of times that he's worked on electricity, and he's never had to turn the power off because he knows how to manipulate those wires or use tools that he didn't have to disconnect everything. Me, you better shut it down because I'm going to... You know, I'm going to do one of those things, you know. But, you know, he's probably worked with it so much, there's some things that he can do and he done anything. But the problem with all of that is not that he's used to it or that he's taking it for granted or even doing something that's scary or risky. The problem with that is every now and then we need to feel that power. We need to respect that power. We need to know that there's something in there. I'm not just doing a job. And I really don't mean this the way it sounds, but at the same time, it needs to be a little bit of a wake-up call with some of us who have been in the Pentecostal movement enough to where we know, we feel, we've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We even pray and speak in tongues, but there's times that we forget the essence of that. There's also some of us that are still asking questions. Some of us may have had that experience and we've not been able to really utilize it fully because we didn't fully understand exactly why we have this experience. Sometimes, and regardless of whether we want to or not, even from the pulpit, we drive a service a certain way, and you find yourself being a part of what's going on and participating. It's not about I'm not participating, I'm holding back, but sometimes we focus, and you get the experience, but there, underneath all that is something else. You realize that every one of these songs that we sing, we like them, everything, but there's a message. That message was originated in the author, and the author wrote that song for a purpose. And we get to enjoy it with all of the music jump involved in it. We could put a full orchestra up here, and we can enjoy all of that. But you go back to the original idea, why the author wrote that. If you knew that, if you knew what they went through. I'm listening with my satellite, you know, radio station, and they're having, this is the month of the Bible, and they're having all of these different artists that are saying their favorite Bible verse and why they wrote certain songs and things like this. And boy, it's exciting to hear why they did it. We want to talk tonight a little bit why God gave us this wonderful gift, this tremendous gift of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to buzz through it pretty quickly, okay? I have 8 questions that I want to ask. This is not the first one, but you need to ask yourself this question. How close or intimate, if you will, do I really want to be with Jesus? Do I want to just be accepted? Do I just want to make sure that I do the right thing? Do I want to do the best I can? Or do I really, really, really want to be close to Jesus? There's a lot of people that just want to, and it's, they don't mean to just get by, but they've never gone to the point to where they really want to understand why I gave my heart to Christ in the first place. Why do I go to church in the first place? Who am I really supposed to be? And this is one of the approaches that we want to do. So I'm going to ask 8 questions tonight. The first one is simply this. What is speaking in tongues? What is speaking in tongues? We hear about that, and we understand that it's a part of it, but we need to understand why this is part of that. It's a lot of churches, and I know, boy, we struggle with this as pastors. I know that Brother Owens has struggled with this as a presbyter. There's a lot of churches out there that they want to talk an awful lot about the Holy Spirit, but they really don't want to emphasize tongues a lot. And you know why? Because it's easy to talk about the Holy Spirit and what He'll do if you don't have to tell people that they really should seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking to other tongues, because that just seems arduous. It seems it's just easier to just kind of, and I will use this term for myself, okay? It's easier to just kind of water it down and ignore that part of it and just talk about the Holy Spirit. Brother Brandon's back here. He was a pastor for 16 years at one church just down the road. I'm sure he's seen several times that people just wanted to get the Holy Spirit, but they didn't want to have the speaking with evidence of other tongues for one reason or the other. I'm here to tell you tonight that it is a part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I want to encourage you to seek it at all costs, because it will do powerful things in your life, and we'll talk about a little bit of those in a minute. Let me tell you what it's not first. It's not a status symbol. You didn't rise above everybody else the minute you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you can speak in tongues, that's awesome. But you know what? It is not a heaven or hell issue. There's a whole lot of people out there that are never going to speak in tongues. They're going to go to heaven just like you and I. Don't ever use it as an issue that I'm better than somebody else or more important to God or more spiritual because, you know, I speak in tongues. I don't know if Billy Graham was ever baptized in the Holy Spirit or not. I never heard him talk about it, preach about it. But I'm going to tell you what, he's done a whole lot of things that I probably will never do. He's won a lot of people to Christ, and I don't know if he speaks in tongues or not. So don't ever use that as a defining factor. It's not a shortcut to spiritual maturity. Let me tell you, spiritual maturity comes from getting on your hands and knees and you praying and you seeking God through this word. So it's not a substitute for any of that. The third thing it's not, and I needed this when I first started talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is not some hypnotic, trance-like state that you go into. Now listen, I'm going to tell you, I'm 57 years old. I've been in this thing a long time. I've been saved for 41 years. But then when I first heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I just didn't understand. This church, God was just blessing this church that I was going to. And I didn't know if you went into a trance or not. You know, I know you didn't. I know you weren't supposed to, like, levitate or anything like that or you know, what stuff, you know. But seriously, I just didn't know any better. And I just didn't know what was going to happen because I just wasn't sure. So let me tell you, it's not one of those things whatsoever. It's not to be, you know, don't worry about that. But let me tell you what it is. It's Holy in Spirit inspired language that we use. And it's unknown language. And it's something that you're not going to understand. So that's why sometimes it's really hard to seek it and pursue it. But here's what God gave it to us. God gave it to us in two aspects. One for our private prayer life and one for public consumption, if you will. Tonight, if God wanted to use the gifts of tongues, what he would do is he would lay it on the heart of somebody to speak in tongues. He would also lay it on the heart of someone, maybe even the one giving that gift of tongues, the interpretation. Because when it's done publicly, it's for the edification of the body. It's the edification of the people that are there. God wants to say something to all of us, and he does it through the gift of tongues. But he also gives us this private prayer language so that we can use it in and of ourselves. Let me quote James Boyd. He said this, "People have a natural hunger for the supernatural, but many turn to the satanic supernatural that is found in psychics, the New Age, and other cultic activity, rather than seeking the true supernatural power of God. This is a tragedy. God is a supernatural God. He can fulfill the deepest longings of our heart with his love and power, and tongues are one of the avenues that he works through in order to do this." Now, I remember being out there and hearing people talk about the tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there was just this big disconnect. I wanted it, but I didn't understand it. And I felt like there was just this huge gulf, if you will, this leap I was supposed to make. And you know what? It just took me a little time to realize that there's no division here. It's just God inviting me, and he just drew me closer and closer and closer to wanting to be with Jesus. Here, let me just jump ahead and tell you, if you're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're looking for tongues, you're looking in the wrong direction. You need to seek Jesus. Jesus is the giver. Jesus is the power that we're looking for. And as you seek him, he says, "I will give you the Holy Spirit." And the evidence of that is speaking in other tongues. Question number two, are tongues still in operation today? It's true that the Bible says that tongues will cease. Let me give you that verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13:8. Because I've heard people say this. Hey, the Bible says it's done. It's over with. It was just for the New Testament church. That scripture says, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part." And this is the part you need to hear. "But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away." This is the same passage that says this. When tongues will cease, will happen when perfection comes. We're talking about when Jesus comes back. That's when perfection is going to show up, and that's when tongues will cease. It will no longer be a necessary. It will no longer be utilized by the church because Jesus is coming back. Until then, Paul says this in verse 12, and a little bit, for a few verses later, he says, "Seeing through a glass darkly." You know, we're going through this life. We need the help of the Holy Spirit as much as we can. So that's what he says. I don't always know how to pray, but that is why God has made available to us a heavenly prayer language. He gives us this ability to pray even though we don't exactly know what to pray. It's wonderful how this works. Question number three, how does speaking in tongues operate? How does speaking in tongues operate? Now, there's a big difference between how does operate and how are you going to get it. So let's talk about this for a second. The Bible describes there's three different manifestations of the Holy Spirit, okay? One, and we call it different things, but I'm going to call it this tonight, evidential tongues. It is the initial physical evidence that we, you know, in the Holy Spirit, I mean, in the Assemblies of God, this is the way we say it. We feel like you should encourage, and we encourage you to seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of the speaking in other tongues. Now, this isn't, okay, you got it because you're speaking in tongues. It's the evidence that you got it. Let me go back to what I said this morning. I believe with all my heart, my short story was, I prayed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, didn't get the tongues, but I knew the minute I prayed earnestly with my heart, I was different. I was changed. I was a different person. 2 weeks later, I get the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, here's that two-week gap. I don't know why it took me 2 weeks. Maybe I'm just stubborn. I have no idea. Some people just, boom, they get it right then. Some people seek it for weeks and months or whatever. There's some that just back in January got baptized in the Holy Spirit for the first time, and they've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit ever since I've known them, and that's 11 years. Listen, I don't know about the time, but I know this much, okay? There is this evidence. Let me take you to Acts, the second chapter. You remember this day. It was the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit fell. These guys busted out of the upper room. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and they sat upon each of them. Later on in Acts, the 10th chapter, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them who heard the word. And those who were circumcised who believed were astonished, as many of them came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Acts the 19th chapter is another story, another verse there about that, so I'm not going to go to that length. It's the initial physical evidence, and that's why we emphasize that so much, so because it's the indicator, okay? Now, there's also what we call intercessory or private tongues. There's a lot of different phrases we use, and sometimes that confuses us, okay? Here's where God gives us the ability to pray in the Spirit or to pray in our own private life so that we can pray for somebody in tongues, because God knows how to use us to pray specifics in other people's lives that we don't even know. There are times that when you're praying in tongues, when you're doing that, that God is literally using you to minister and to pray for somebody, and you don't even know what you're praying about. You have no idea. Had somebody, it was the coolest thing in the world. Somebody came to me today and said, "Pastor, can I talk to you?" I said, "Sure." They said, "I've been meaning to tell you something for 6 months, but I just didn't feel comfortable, blah, blah, blah." And you know what? They said, "I have no idea why I should be telling you." And exactly what they told me is exactly something that I needed to hear. They didn't know. That's just on the human level, okay? But on the spiritual level, we get to do this every time we do that. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, some of you are going, "Pastor Dave, this is old information." Well, it's old information, but we need to remind ourselves that there's a little electricity in that wire. Okay, that's where you students, I hope that tonight you're either getting some foundation or you're getting some hunger built and some curiosity about the Holy Spirit so you'll investigate it further. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, "For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays." I'm sorry, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is the conclusion then, Paul says? "I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say?" Paul sometimes gets a little wordy. We're not exactly sure what he said. We get lost in the context of that. He is saying this, "You know what? I don't know what I'm saying, but I always pray in the Spirit, and I sing in the Spirit, and God uses me, and he ministers through me." So what role does this play in our lives? Three things. First of all, we get to pray beyond our limited human understanding. I'm going to tell you what, guys. When you go to the hospital, and somebody is on a vent, I'm talking about they are hooked up, and there's lines running everywhere, and they can't respond. And you can't ask them, how do you want me to pray? And when their family isn't there, they can't tell you what their wishes are. I'm telling you, the best thing in the world is just lay hand on that person and pray in the Spirit, because God knows what they need. Well, listen, if that's true over an extreme, urgent physical need, it is also true over the everyday mundane things. God does not differentiate between that is really, really important, this is really, really not. We need to pray in the Spirit every day over just the things that we need to pray about. It's going to be really cool when we get to heaven and God says, you know what? I want you to see your life. There was this time you were praying, you didn't even know what you were praying about. Look what you accomplished. Look what you did. I used you in this context because you were praying. So that's what he does. We also speak mysteries according to 1 Corinthians 14:2. We speak mysteries to God. Now, I don't want to get that. I was worried about that word mysteries, quite honestly, because then we get over into this little, ooh, that's a little, ooh, you know, when there's supposed to be some weird music in the background. Listen, God's not like that. He doesn't freak people out, and he doesn't put you in spooky places. But there's so cool that there are times that when you're praying in the Spirit, you know that you have gone into a mysterious place. But it's a cool thing, and it's very comfortable, and it's not weird, and it's freaky, and it's not scary. The coolest, best part of this, if you ask me, is the third part. We get to edify others when we pray in the Spirit. It's like throwing this thing into second gear. And they may not be there, but that's what we're doing. We get to edify and lift people. I'm going to tell you what. When you pray in the Spirit, not only are you edified, you're edifying somebody else. I mean, it is encouraging and it's exciting, and I encourage you to do it as often as you can. So we have the evidential tongues, the initial physical evidence. Then we have what we call intercessory tongues or devotional tongues. And then we have the ministry gift of tongues. That's when you hear it in the public context of a church service. How many of you have heard that? You've been in one of our services and someone in the audience, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you've... And they get, okay, if you've never heard that, raise your hand. Never been in a church, and that's never happened. Okay, hang around. It'll happen. And when it does, I just want to make sure that you know what it is. God wants to bless the church in that context. He will lay it upon the heart of somebody to speak in tongues. They will do it loudly. It will be out loud so that everybody can hear. It's also appropriate that you understand that God says that needs to be interpreted. That would be like somebody coming in here and telling us something that is really, really wrong and that we need to get out of the building, whatever, but he says it in Hungarian. Well, thank you. Who can speak Hungarian? And this guy really wants to help us. Now, this is a really ridiculous illustration, by the way. But Hungarian sounds really different and strange. But somebody busts through the door, and you know what? They're trying to save our lives. They know that something's going on, this urgent peril or whatever, and they're just speaking this. Well, if we don't know what he says, then he is not helping us. So that's why God gives us the interpretation, so that he can help the church. This is a powerful sign for unbelievers, as it says, according to 14:12 in 1 Corinthians. Now, this gift is only given in certain situations, and not everybody's going to be used in that way. So don't worry if you've not ever felt that way, but I would encourage you to ask God to use you in that way. Question number four. Weren't tongues given to the early church so that they could preach the gospel in foreign nations? I've heard this before, and I think it's somebody trying to rationalize what happened on the day of Pentecost. And it's true that on the day of Pentecost, they heard them speak in all other languages. That's in Acts, the second chapter, verse 11. It says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. But listen, they were not preaching. They had just gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had just left there. But here's what happened. When Peter preached, he preached in language that everybody could understand. And that's why 3,000 people came to the Lord right then. And that's just music counting the men. We always love to bump that up so it sounds like it's a lot bigger. But that's what happened on that day. He wasn't preaching in tongues. Everybody was just filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They heard them speaking in this. Nowhere in the Bible does it ever give us an example of somebody preaching in tongues. Okay? Question number five, are tongues in human languages? Well, they can be. You know, you've heard stories of somebody that has been in a crowd and somebody is speaking in tongues. Somebody from a foreign place or knows a foreign language hears them and they had no idea that that's what they were actually worshiping. They were praising the Lord, whatever, in tongues. And somebody heard them speaking in a language that they understood as a foreign language. So yeah, it can be human languages. There's no problem with that, but not necessarily. They can also be heavenly languages. And the Bible also says tongues of angels. Now this is where if you're not careful, you'll really get a disconnect. You'll go, well, that's you know, you really got to go to seminary to do that, right? I mean, you know, you got to be really, really spiritual or rich or something. And we tend to, when you start using words like heavenly and tongues of angels, you're going to go, well, God knows that I have problems in my life. And we totally disconnect ourselves and we dequalify ourselves, and that's not what we need to do. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Paul says, listen, you know, I need to speak in this, and it might be human language, but also we need to understand it's a language that God understands, regardless of whether it's a human language or not. Question number 6, why didn't Jesus speak in tongues? All through the Bible, we don't ever see Jesus speak in tongues. Well, I'm not totally sure that he didn't. The Bible doesn't say he did, but it doesn't say he didn't. But let's go down that road just for a second. The Bible tells us in Luke 10 that Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. It says that he groaned in the Spirit, according to John 11. And if Jesus did not speak in tongues, let me give you some explanations. These aren't rationalizations. I'm not trying to excuse the fact that Jesus did, but let me give you a couple of things. Jesus was God. What language doesn't he know? So does he need to speak in tongues? I have to say that I don't think it was necessary that he did. Number two is this. He was sinless. He had perfect communication with God. We don't. We need every help, every little thing we can get, every little Holy Spirit encouragement we can. The third thing is this. He was the last person to function as an Old Testament prophet through the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. Tongues was a New Testament thing for the New Testament church, realizing under this circumstance, Jesus had left. He says, I'm going, I will send you the Comforter, and that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. So I want to make sure that we understand that. And even if Jesus didn't personally speak in tongues, this is what he said in Mark 16:17. And these signs will follow those who believe. These are the words of Jesus. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. So he's encouraging us and letting us know that this is something that we should be expecting. We should remember that the entire New Testament was written by people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Every one of these guys were tongue talkers, if you want to use that term loosely. So, man, that's where the inspiration comes from, the Holy Spirit, and we know that from the Holy Script anyway. Question number 7, are tongues really that important? Well, let me just take you down this road, okay? 1 Corinthians 12, Paul gives us 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here's what they are. They are wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. I want to look at this as a couple different ways. First of all, this is a list that is this. It is a list of the things. It is a package, if you will. God doesn't say, okay, we'll give you these things and those you really don't need, so you can just throw them away. You ever put something together and you have some extra screws left over? There's a couple of washers. Where does that nut go? You just throw it away. As long as it's operational, we don't need it. You know, this thing runs, it walks. You know, I mean, it works. You know, I can still watch TV with it, and I got extra wires. You know, we think like that. Here's the thing. If we're going to throw out tongues and think it's not important, well, so is wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, and discernment. I think not. I think we need to understand that it is part of that. Since tongues and interpretation was the last gift mentioned, a lot of people think, well, it's not that big a deal. It's just a throw on there. Well, let me take you 2 paces in Scripture, because we usually kind of take that chronological list, and since it was last, we tend to think that it's not that big a deal. Well, in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 21, murder is named toward the end of that list, but does that mean it's any less serious than all the other sins that are listed? Of course not. Just important as all the others. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says this, faith, hope, and love remain, yet the greatest of these is love, and it's the one that's listed last. Well, I don't think any of you probably really have a problem with that, the listing, but I just want to give credibility to tongues, whether it's listed first, last, or second. That doesn't matter. It's all in there. But here's what Paul says. He thought it was important enough to devote an entire chapter of the Bible to speaking in tongues. He tells us that he desires that everyone speaks in tongues in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 14. He thanks God that he speaks in tongues more than all of them in verse 18. 3 times in Scripture, we are encouraged to covet. That word covet is to pursue with passion. That we should covet the gifts of the Holy Spirit, including tongues. And guess what? these were worded as a commandment, not an option. We treat it like, you know, an accessory to what we have. We treat it as a luxury. And God says it is essential. That's what we need to do. And that's why it's sad when we downplay what the Holy Spirit's doing all about. Question number 8. Everybody say, praise God, it's the last one. It's okay, you can say it. I feel what you're feeling out there. All right? See, the Holy Spirit works a lot of different ways. That's not the Holy Spirit. I think it's just wisdom and discernment, quite honestly. Number 8. Are tongues something to be feared? Okay, let's be honest. How many of you have thought, tongues is just a little, go ahead, tell me. Have you ever feared the, you know, and you kind of go, all right, see, now right now you're experiencing the very thing that I'm talking about. You're going, I'm not throwing my hand up. That's just not spiritual enough to do that. I'm telling you, I went to a church that the first time I went to it because I was just literally drawn by what was going on down there. The truth of the matter is that I was going to this one church, and a lot of our friends were there, and then I met this guy named Denny Duron, and he ended up down there on the billboard. He's going to be at this church. It was Huffman Assembly of God. We go down there, and he's preaching and talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and I'm going, what? I'd never heard of that. So, you know, I went back. This was on a Thursday. I went back on Sunday, and I'm sitting there, and sure enough, I mean, just about 4 people down here, this lady just starts, and I'm going, what is that? And then what was going on? And then this guy with a real deep voice on the other side, he says all this stuff. I heard him and heard her, and I was so confused, and I said, this is bizarre. But the cool thing is underneath all of that, there was this part of me that just wanted to be a part of that. I just wanted to know what was at the, it didn't freaked me out, but I was afraid of it. You know what? Because I didn't know anything about it. There's a difference between being afraid of something because it's going to harm you, it's going to damage you, it's going to startle you, it may be dangerous, versus something that you just don't know, but you know God is saying, I think you need to get a little more involved and a little more informed as to what that's all about. That's what it is. So are tongues something to be feared? Of course not. They're a wonderful gift that God gives all of us. I'm tempted to use it, even the word, it's a wonderful tool he gives us, but then we start thinking about something that we use that's apart from us. If I pick up a hammer, I don't carry it with me every day. But tell me what, the gifts of the Holy Spirit goes everywhere you go. Okay, it's not a tool that I pick up when I want it. It's Sunday, get my Bible, let's go there, and you leave the Bible at home all the time. No, it goes with you everywhere you go. So I don't want to use that word tool. And here's why he gives it to us. To enjoy his presence more fully and more intimately. I'll tell you what, when you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's something about God that just causes you to feel more like a Christian. It causes you to be more Christ-like, which is the purpose and the whole goal in this thing anyway. You know, if you were to come over to my house the first time you've ever been there, you would have to ask where the bathroom is. But if you have known me, you've been there several times, you probably know where it is. My driveway, I love it when people come to my house for the first time because it's a curved driveway. And we have these two big old brick pillars at the end of it, and I just love watching people back out of my driveway. Because turn and look. They open the door, make sure they're not going to hit anything. It is comical. It is entertaining, quite honestly, you know, because it's got that curve thing. Well, I got it now to where I can speed out of my driveway backwards because I've been there all the time. God wants you to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues so you can fully get to know him and you don't have to go, please God, I won't bother you again, but no. God says, I love you. You're my child. We're in this thing together. I gave you the gift of life through my son and I want to give you the Holy Spirit to give you power and encouragement and all the other stuff. It also gives it to us to be more effective for service. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're a better Christian, not because you're better than anybody else, because you're listening more to the Holy Spirit. He gets your attention, not just on Sundays when you end up in church and not when you reminded yourself to read this Bible, but all the time. He's always there to encourage you. Let me go back to James Boyd one more time. He says, being a supernatural phenomenon, speaking in tongues is approached somewhat hesitantly by many Christians, not unchristians, Christians. However, this is nothing new. In the Bible, when God's presence showed up in a tangible manner, it was not unusual for onlookers to respond with fear. We see this in the events with the angelic visit the shepherds had when Jesus was born in Luke chapter 2. When the disciples saw Jesus walk on water in Mark 6, and when John had his vision of the risen Jesus in Revelation 1. Notice that each time the first reaction of the people who witnessed these supernatural occurrences was to be afraid. However, in each of these cases, these people were assured, fear not or be not afraid. Now, I don't think anybody's really afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you see, here's the thing. We may be hesitant to seek it because we can get along without it. It is a sad thing. There's a lot of people out there that are living way below the privileges of who their Christian walk could be with Jesus because they've never sought Him fuller to the extent of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let me end with this. Luke, the 11th chapter. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. And if a son asks for bread from a father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? Everybody say it with me. Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. This is where we are getting just now. The rubber meets the road. Jesus said, if you ask God for bread, He's not going to give you a stone. But in the same context, He said, if you're asking for the Holy Spirit, He's going to give you the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life is something that we should cherish, we should preserve, and we should be thankful for instead of being fearful of it. Or I should say hesitant. Or deciding that, you know, it's just not for me. Because it is for everybody. Here's the ultimate goal. And we find it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. You know what he's saying? Man, it's a little foggy. You know, I can't see everything. I don't know everything. But I'm looking at the Lord. But we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what this is? This is a goal of us to be Christ-like. Jesus wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. God wants you to have the full freedom of speaking in tongues for all the reasons that I just listed. The whole thing is that do we really, really want that? And I believe that we do. Now, here's the encouragement to those of us who have been in Pentecost for a long time. Don't let that gift sit on the shelf. Don't let it grow old. Don't let it just become something that we do. Don't be like Jacob and just walk around with those wires and not even really realize that behind all of this is this incredible power. There's this source. And not only is it supposed to be respected and reverenced, but it's to be utilized. God forbid, regardless of the electricity's on and off, that Jacob hooks everything up, but we never turn it on. That's what we got to do. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time around the altar tonight. I'm not going to ask those of you who have not been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit to come forward. Let me pray for you unless you want me to do so. But I am going to encourage as many of you that will in just a minute to stand. And we're just going to worship in song. And as we do, I want you to search your heart. I want you to ask God for what you want. I hope that if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight, that you'll leave asking this question. God, do you want me to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You ask Him what He thinks. You know what I think He'll say. But I hope you leave with this part of you, and I don't know how to describe it, but just says, you know, I just want this more of God. And it's easy to say, God, I want more of you. But He's saying, you know what? I have more to give, and it's through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we run around looking for God, and He says, I'm right here. You know, the preacher just preached about it. And you know what? If God doesn't give you, and if you haven't received that baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence to speak with other tongues, please don't give up on it. I'm telling you, there's something that you're going to experience if you don't quit, if you keep asking and keep asking and keep pursuing. I promise you, there's something God wants to give you. Some of you, you've experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a limited way. You know that God is that, but there's just something that hasn't allowed that to just be really, really free. I had a foreman one time, and he knew that I was a Pentecostal guy. He knew that I went to Assembly of God Church, and he says, you know, he said, hey, you know what? I'd like to hear you speak in tongues. And I told him, I said, it's not for public display in the context of this setting. I'm not here to tell you about something that, it's not another language I've learned. He said, this is what God tells me to do. I'm not here for display. I'm here for devotion. So let me just reroute all of your attention to one thing. This is all about getting closer to God and not having this ability to speak in tongues. But I will tell you that God doesn't want you to have a little bit, because there's not so such thing as a little bit. He doesn't want you to exercise it just a little bit. He wants you to exercise it in full. He wants you to fully, freely feel what the Holy Spirit wants for you, and to express it and to ingest it into your life. And it'll just pour through your pores. Everybody will see it. But there again, it's not for display, is it? You know why God wants you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because He wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit. And some of you tonight, it's been a long time since you felt that freedom. And today we've expressed and talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, let Him just bless you tonight. Will you bless Him? I know this sounds like an instructional type thing, and it is. But you know what? Tonight you just need to let that language go. I mean, just speak it. You need to exercise that again tonight. You need to just, in a part of our praise and worship here just a minute, and it's wonderful how it works in churches with worship. We aren't getting worked up. And sometimes the noise, if you will, the worship allows us this privacy because of this volume to just be right there in our own little spiritual cocoon with God and just worship Him. But I'm telling you tonight, get the rust off that baptism of the Holy Spirit. Bring it off the shelf, dust it off, and use it tonight. Father, I pray the next few moments, we're only going to be here a matter of minutes, but I pray it'll be a difference maker in some of our lives. Father, whether we fully had the answers that we were looking for tonight or not, I know one thing. Jesus would never lead me down a path of destruction. He would never lead me to a place of disappointment. He would never lead me somewhere and leave me alone. He would always assist me. And tonight, Father, I believe everyone in the sound of my voice desperately wants the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You'll help us to exercise it and achieve it, embrace it tonight, as we worship You in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet. Let's all stand together. Let's sing this together. We'll be dismissed in a matter of moments, but let's ask the Lord to make this a special few minutes. Amen.